Coming up on Fronteras, remember those hard-shelled, spicy ground beef tacos that populated American kitchens a few decades ago? That's not the taco of today. Today it's grilled fish, kosher beef, Korean barbecue, and fried eggs.
There's places where cultures can blend together and where you can create something different, something new, something fresh.
On the border, people are used to blending cultures together.
You know, we celebrate Christmas, but we like Hanukkah, and we do Hanukkah so that they can understand this is where we came from.
So why not combine cultural flavors into food? We get a taste of the kosher taco as part of our entire mouth-watering taco series, how Americans have taken a Mexican comfort food and made it their own. But first, the news. This is Fronteras, a journalism project that covers the U.S.-Mexico border region, immigration, and the rising Latino demographic. Fronteras was created via an unprecedented multimedia collaboration among seven public radio stations and funded by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting as part of its Local Journalism Center initiative. I'm Crystal Chavez. Consider the taco, a corn or flour tortilla filled with something tasty. It's a simple concept, but the possibilities are infinite. David Martin Davies reports in the first part of the Fronteras series, Making the Taco Our Own, exploring how this culinary import has been adopted and adapted north of the border.
The Data Point Taqueria is a white food wagon that each night gets unhitched and dropped off on Data Point Drive in San Antonio. They serve traditional Mexican taco plates, very similar to what you would find in Mexico, tacos pastor, barbacoa, carnitas. You have to pay in cash, and UrbanSpoon.com gives it an adoring 92% score.
Two carnitas, carnitas, two beef.
Raj and Tazima are a married couple from Bangladesh and had heard how good the tacos are here.
So this is the first time we came here. She tried it a couple of times, this place.
Yeah. No, I just came with one of my friends. So she is very fond of tacos. When I first came, I was impressed.
Travel two blocks up the street, and the taco experience is very different.
Hello, Taco Bell. How can I help you?
Taco Bell is where they make a Mexican food-like substance from Cool Ranch Dorito taco shells. They are pushing the border of what defines Mexican food and forcing the question, is the taco evolving in America or is it mutating? Whatever the answer is, Americans are eating it up, including their newest creation, now being rolled out in limited test markets.
It's called the Breakfast Waffle Taco, and I'm dying to get my fat hands on it.
LA-based YouTuber Steve Zaragoza hunted down what some might call a gastronomic atrocity. Zaragoza doesn't mind that the waffle taco has as much to do with tacos as moon rocks. On his video post, he got his waffle taco on, and he gave it two syrup-covered thumbs up.
The waffle is buttery. It's crispy.
Between Taco Bell and the Data Point Taqueria, there's a vast spectrum, and somewhere in the middle is Taco Cabana, a 24-hour Mexican food chain that started in San Antonio 35 years ago. It now has 166 locations in four states, and it's still growing.
Welcome. Coming in. Coming in, guys.
Let's go to the kitchen.
In the Taco Cabana secret test kitchen, corporate chef Diego Galicia works with focus groups.
So customers come here about 20 at a time. They fill out a questionnaire, and they try the products. It can be a burrito, it can be enchiladas, it can be whatever new product that we're developing.
On the wall of the test kitchen are product posters for some of their hits, like the fajita norteño taco. It's one of the ideas that Chef Diego found during his frequent explorations of Mexico. He searches for new ideas and the latest taco trends in Mexico.
People think it's kind of stagnant, and there's nothing more to discover, but there's always something going on with its new pepper, new salsas, a new cooking style, new techniques. So we bring that back, and then we work it here in a way that's acceptable for our customers.
Chef Diego is looking for the taco sweet spot, a taco with Mexican street cred that can be marketed to gringa soccer moms. But some here are also taking the taco uptown.
My name is Elizabeth Johnson, and I'm a Latin cuisine specialist here at the CIA.
That's the Culinary Institute of America. Chef Elizabeth also develops items for the menu at NAO, a CIA Latin restaurant in San Antonio.
You're seeing this tacoification of foods.
She says foods are merging with tacos. Korean barbecue, Chinese dim sum, Polish sausage, Belgium waffle. All of this is happening because the United States is changing, especially the younger generation.
Millennials are very multi-ethnic. They're very interested in cuisines from around the world, and we're becoming more and more casual.
And Chef Elizabeth says the tacos are telling us something.
When you say, does every taco tell a story? I say you bet it does, because it tells about the people that are working in those areas, the people that have migrated to those areas, and they have brought their culinary traditions and their culture.
So the next time you pick up a taco from a fast food window or from a street vendor, ask yourself, what story is that taco telling you? In San Antonio, David Martin Davies reporting.
The Southwest border is a place where people and cultures collide and inevitably blend into one another. For El Paso artist Peter Schwarzbein, it's the perfect setting to introduce a food experiment that complements his latest project. He combined his experience as a Jew growing up on Mexico's doorstep to create a new twist on an iconic dish. As we continue our series on the American Taco Fronteras, reporter Monica Ortiz Uribe reports on the kosher taco.
It's hotter than a desert full of burning bushes in this kitchen. No surprise, considering the amount of cooking going on.
It's about 450 to 500 latkes. Six whole roasted kosher chickens, a pico de gallo, roasted green chilies. We did an Israeli salad.
Chef Jose Casares sips a Dr. Pepper in between each flip of his spatula. He's frying clumps of shredded potato in a pan. These are latkes, the traditional Jewish dish served during the Hanukkah holiday. But these are not Hanukkah latkes. No, these latkes are just a sidekick to the main attraction, a kosher taco.
Kosher is dietary laws that are set forth by God in the Torah, in the Bible, to the Jewish people.
That's Rabbi Levi Greenberg. We're in his synagogue kitchen in El Paso, where he supervises the food preparation. The kosher taco is the brainchild of local artist and photographer Peter Schwarzbein.
I actually muled 50 pounds of kosher meat from Albuquerque down to El Paso.
Schwarzbein has paired his kosher taco experiment with a video exhibit he created on Latino crypto Jews. What's a crypto Jew? They're the descendants of Jews who forcibly converted to Christianity as far back as the Spanish Inquisition in the late 1400s. The Spanish called them marranos, or pigs. Pork is not kosher.
The reason why they called them marranos is because they would force them to eat pork to the bone, to show how Christian they were and not Jewish. It was an identity through food.
The idea of joining a taco and kosher food is a nod to the Jews who fled to Latin America, particularly Mexico, to escape persecution.
So in a way, having a kosher taco is a way to take that power back and to positively identify oneself through food consumption.
And thus was born Conversos y Tacos, a gourmet taco truck touring the streets of El Paso this summer.
So one chicken shawarma and one Ari White's kosher asada, please.
At a recent stop in downtown El Paso, a curly-haired customer places an order. There are three different kosher tacos to choose from. There's the chicken shawarma taco, then the brisket taco that comes with a pickle, and finally, a taco prepared with smoked beef from a famous kosher barbecue in Yonkers, New York. Each order comes with a latke and a jalapeno dipping sauce.
But they're wonderful. They're delicious. It's great.
Leslie Garcia sits at an outdoor bench with a table full of relatives. She's a pastor at a non-denominational Christian church. Her family has a Jewish past.
Our great-great-grandfather fled during the Inquisition and fled through Mexico. And then our whole family ended up in California. Except my father opened a business in El Paso, and we are El Pasoans.
You could say the Garcia family is living the kosher taco. They grew up Mexican-American and Christian, but since they discovered their Jewish roots, the family simply combined both cultures.
You know, we celebrate Christmas, but we like Hanukkah, and we do Hanukkah so that they can understand this is where we came from.
The Jewish community in El Paso is small, making kosher food hard to come by and expensive. So the taco truck is a special treat for local Jews. For Schwarzbein, it's also an opportunity to educate. There are those in El Paso who know little or nothing about the Jewish faith.
For me, this is really about let's create this base of understanding and of dialogue, and that there's places where cultures can blend together and where you can create something different, something new, something fresh.
In El Paso, I'm Monica Ortiz Uribe.
There's still more Fronteras coming up. Breakfast tacos in San Antonio are the morning staple. Reporter Joey Palacios takes us to one restaurant he's been going to since he was a toddler, where the tortilla is king.
It's not an easy process. People think that my tortillas are made with machines. We use our hands to mix the dough just like at home.
Whether you fill your taco with bean and cheese, barbacoa, or bacon, eggs, and cheese, that order coming up as we continue our taco series. Stay tuned. This is Fronteras. I'm Crystal Chavez. In South Texas, the breakfast taco is a morning staple filled with eggs, bacon, and beans. The breakfast taco is San Antonio's Egg McMuffin. Breakfast on the run for a city proud of its Latino heritage. From our Fronteras desk, reporter Joey Palacios takes us to a family-owned Tex-Mex restaurant he's been eating at since he was a toddler.
On any given morning in San Antonio, you'll see people in line waiting for tacos, either at the counter or at a drive-thru. Breakfast tacos are practically considered a food group all of their own. On the northeast side of the city is a small restaurant I've been going to since I was 2 years old. It's called Cristan Tacos. It's part of a family-owned group of about five restaurants. Lucy Cristan is the owner of this location. She's like an aunt to me. Cristan's has had a place in my family's heart since this store opened in 1987.
The thing that really satisfies me and I'm so glad to see is the kids that come and eat with me like you when you were little, and now they're your age and older and have kids of their own.
The restaurant sells a variety of foods centric to Hispanic culture in Texas, from breakfast tacos to huevos rancheros plates, gorditas, enchiladas, and other Texas-influenced Mexican food. But the tacos are the most frequently ordered item. Originally, Cristan's was a grocery store in the 1960s, just outside of downtown. Lucy's mother was the owner. During the late mornings, Lucy's mom would make tacos for her children, and the smell would entice customers.
One customer one day came in and says, "Miss Cristan, what are you cooking back there?" And then she says, "I'm cooking a picadillo taco." He says, "That sure smells good. Do you think you could sell me a taco?" And she says, "Well, okay." She says, I'm gonna sell you a taco." She says, "How much?" 25 cents.
Selling ready-to-eat food in a grocery store was frowned upon by the health department at the time. So they had a method around getting caught.
Every time the inspectors would come in, we'd say, "Water." That meant that the inspector was there and that we couldn't sell the mom's cooking. And so we'd stop.
Still, word got around, and Mother Cristan began to sell so many tacos, the taqueria next door went out of business, Lucy claims. That's when Lucy's brother, Frank, bought the building next door and moved the tacos out of the grocery store.
We opened in 1963, Joey, and it became a little gold mine.
Lucy and her four other siblings would eventually open restaurants of their own throughout San Antonio. Lucy opened the first of her stores in 1983 and a second one in 87, right near where I grew up. But they needed to create a menu, and that's where my dad came in.
Joe was one of my customers, Joe Palacios, and we had menus to make. And I knew he was a photographer. And I says, "Can you take pictures of my food?" He says, "Yes." He says, "I'll even make you a menu with my pictures." It's a good, good customer, your dad.
His photos still remain on the wall today. Where and how Tex-Mex cooking developed in the Lone Star State depends on who you ask. However, it's certain the food is vastly different than from across the border.
The food from Mexico, it's spicier and it's got a lot of ingredients that we don't use here.
The breakfast taco is also vastly different from the other types of tacos eaten throughout the day. It's typically filled with early morning foods like bacon, egg, and cheese, or bean and cheese, barbacoa, chorizo and egg, or country sausage and egg. But the absolute key ingredient is the corn or flour tortilla. She makes about 1,000 tortillas a day.
It's not an easy process. People think that My tortillas are made with machines. We use our hands to make mix the dough just like at home.
Regardless of what the taco was filled with or the time of day, Lucy has one cardinal rule.
The tortilla makes a taco. If you don't have a good tortilla, you don't have a good taco.
In San Antonio, Joey Palacios reporting.
And speaking of the breakfast taco, you may have caught wind that two Texas cities claim to have the best breakfast tacos around. San Antonio and Austin battled for the title in a Twitter taco war following Taco Talk on the NPR program The Takeaway. Texas Public Radio's Ryan Lloyd, a San Antonio native and former Austin resident, got some reaction from folks in the Alamo City.
It's a dirty job, but somebody's got to do it. Find out why breakfast tacos are just the best here in our humble city. So I went to my go-to taco place, the original Blanco Cafe on Blanco Road. Right away, I found mother-daughter duo Joe Mascaro and Haley Saylor, who are clearly taco connoisseurs and agree San Antonio is where it's at when it comes to these traditional breakfast treats.
This is a regular pit stop, probably 5 or 6 times a week. I come in, I don't place an order, my food appears.
Taco is a Mexican dish. Austin is not a Mexican name. San Antonio is a Mexican name. It should just, I mean, it's already said in the name.
And San Antonio is Taco Town. But our colleagues at Austin's public radio station, KUT, seem to think the capital city has the best breakfast taco on the block. My friend Nathan Bernier talked with taco journalism blog and book writer Mondo Rayo, who couldn't say the breakfast taco comes from Austin, but does agree the Mexican roots are strong there too.
So it's safe to say that Austin invented the breakfast taco?
Well, you know, I don't know if it actually was invented here. Definitely there's a lot of roots. The whole Texas-Mexico melding of what is Tex-Mex, what is Tejano, is there.
Back at the Blanco Cafe, where homemade tortillas are tops and mouths start watering when you mention the fresh masa, the guys at Danny Martinez's table laughed at me when I asked the question, who has the best breakfast taco between us and our neighbors to the north?
For sure, San Antonio. I mean, that's an easy question. Once you go up north, it's over.
In Martinez's estimation, you can't overlook tradition. And here, Martinez says, grandmothers and moms all over town have the competition beat hands down.
At least for me, I mean, growing up here in San Antonio and with my grandma and my mom and everybody else, you know, just making tortillas and, you know, actually making tacos. So that's something that you just can't give up.
I told the mom-daughter duo which taco I can't do without every time I sit down to order. My favorite is potato and egg.
So good. You want to get cheese on it, though?
No cheese. But you know what? I do salsa verde.
Okay, that's
there
fine.
And I load it like I'm like crying by the time I'm done.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You have to put a lot on there.
So which breakfast taco is your favorite? Most on Twitter agreed San Antonio and cities to the south are way better for breakfast tacos. But Twitter user YGBSN may have said it best to settle this bet. ATX and SAT both offer superior breakfast tacos than anywhere else on the planet. Period. Now get back to work. And so I shall, right after I finish this taco. Ryan Lloyd, Texas Public Radio News. This is so good.
On the Navajo Nation, tacos lose the tortilla and take on fry bread. This summer, a group of teenagers visited a Navajo farm to learn the art of Navajo tacos. Ann Hoffman brings us this story from Window Rock, Arizona.
Visiting teenagers Morgan Miller and James Cobb stand in a kitchen with plywood paneling and photographs of a Navajo family. They're pulling dough from a plastic bowl to make fry bread.
Fry bread leaves flour all over your hands.
It's not pleasant at all.
It's very pleasant.
It makes you feel like you're more involved in the process.
Fry bread was invented about 150 years ago when the Navajo were forced to migrate from Arizona to eastern New Mexico. Their food consisted of government rations like flour, sugar, and lard. The tribe used these ingredients to make bread quickly, and so fry bread was born. Irene Nota is a Navajo culture teacher who's invited these campers over to her farm today. She moves the dough outside and heats a large pan of grease over a flame. A tarp protects her from the elements.
Our grease should be really, really hot. Or maybe 400, I don't know.
As Nota puts the prepared dough into the hot grease, summer monsoon winds pick up.
Ooh. Ooh. Oh my! Oh my! Ooh.
lightning. Ooh, watch.
The kids help her and pull the tarp back down over the stove. In spite of the fierce weather, Nota continues with her lesson.
And we call it Datnilraj. Datnilraj is a Navajo word for five bread. And Apache, they call it Bankahe. So that's Bankahe. Bankahe, yeah. That's Apache.
The atmosphere is festive. Three dogs walk around, curious about all the new people in their backyard.
It's very fluffy.
Friends and relatives of the Notas stop by for what turns out to be a lot like a family barbecue.
This is my sister-in-law, Anna Sanderson. She lives over the hill, and I invite her to come over.
The fry bread is topped with ground beef, cheese, mild salsa, and lettuce to make a Navajo taco. While the bread fries, the campers wait anxiously for their first bite.
You ever had fry bread? No, never. I'm excited to try it, though.
What do you think it's going to taste like?
Maybe kind of like fried dough, but like at the fair, but with less sugar.
When it's finally time to eat, the kids clean their plates. Some say they're a little disappointed that these tacos aren't as spicy as the ones they're used to back home. But almost all go back for second helpings of fry bread, this time with honey on top. I'm Ann Hoffman in Flagstaff.
You've been listening to Fronteras, a Corporation for Public Broadcasting funded journalism project that covers the U.S.-Mexico border region, immigration, and the rising Latino demographic. Fronteras is a collaboration of public radio stations KJZZ Phoenix, KPBS San Diego, KNAU Flagstaff, KNPR Las Vegas, KRWG Las Cruces, KUAZ Tucson, and KSTX San Antonio. We're online at fronterasdesk.org. We're also on Facebook. We invite you to join the conversation and post your thoughts about our stories. For headlines and updates, follow us on Twitter. Our handle is fronterasdesk. You can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Our theme music was composed by Charanga Cakewalk. I'm Texas Public Radio's Crystal Chavez. Thank you for listening.